Banks don't want to buy risky bonds, so how's a troubled country going to pay its bills?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In Greece, a new prime minister, economist Lucas Papademos, is expected to take over as soon as he lines up an interim government. In Italy, another economist, Mario Monti, could take over as early as Saturday. Italy is Europe's third biggest economy, and it's in the midst of a crucial economic test this morning as it sells nearly $7 billion in government bonds. European leaders worry that banks are requiring too high of interest rates from Italy, but it's the political leaders who are partially responsible for those rates. Christopher Worth reports now from London.
Europe is locked in something of a catch-22. On the one hand, political leaders have gotten tough on banks. Banks have been forced to mark down the value of shaky debt from Greece and other countries. For instance, banks will only get back 50% of what they lent to Greece. On the other hand, that weakens their ability to lend as much as they normally would. And when governments want to borrow more money, they depend on those same banks as the main buyers of their bonds. Karsten Brzeski, an economist at ING, says it's similar to the way U.S. banks, faced with tighter regulations, stopped lending to businesses and consumers after Lehman Brothers collapsed in 2008.
Here it's less the Eurozone consumers, but it's the governments. They need someone actually buying its bonds. And if you need to find a buyer, but no one's buying it, then you have a real problem.
That is, with banks no longer buying bonds, the cost of public borrowing goes up, pushing countries like Italy closer to the edge of default. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher here at home. The Dow is up 120 points, more than a percent at 11,901. Fewer people claimed jobless benefits last week. According to the Labor Department, that number was down by 10,000, closer to a threshold that indicates perhaps, some job growth in this country. It's being called the biggest municipal bankruptcy filing in U.S. history. It happened yesterday in Jefferson County, Alabama, home to the state's largest city and economic center, Birmingham. Gigi Duban reports now on what led to the filing and where the county goes from here.
Jefferson County Manager Tony Patelis says residents shouldn't notice much difference as the county works its way through bankruptcy proceedings.
We will continue to provide the services as we have in the past. Our employees will continue to work.
Still, Jefferson County is staring at a $40 million hole in this year's budget. Andreas Raudicus teaches finance at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. The county needs to come up with a reorganization plan, and a judge needs to approve it before creditors know exactly how much money they'll get back.
All of it is driven by the county. The creditors really don't have a lot of input.
Raudicus says to a big investment bank like J.P. Morgan Chase, even a $1 billion loss isn't devastating. The real problem, he says, will come when the county needs to borrow money in the future and no one wants to lend it to them. In Birmingham, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. By Mass Mutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances. November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com.
Japanese camera maker Olympus is reeling now, with stocks going for pennies of what they were just a few days ago. The company admitted this week to covering up huge losses dating back to the 1980s. The former president and CEO, Michael Woodford, who was just fired last month, is with us now to talk about a cover-up he says he knew nothing about. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You worked for this company for so many years. Why just now raise these questions?
I worked for the company for just over 30 years and was running the European operations of Olympus until April 1st when I was made the president. Knew nothing of any of these issues until an obscure financial journal published an article at the end of July in Japanese, and I started to have friends and colleagues email me saying, hey, look at this. This sounds serious, this very strange allegations against the company's M&A activities of recent years.
Some shareholders are calling for you to come back to the company. Is that a possibility?
It is. I feel an obligation to the 40,000 people who work for the company. After 30 years, you bond with many people, and I don't want to just leave them with the company in this state.
What would you do if you went back to the company?
I mean, the first thing, you have to cleanse it. Olympus is a great company, but its problem is a sickness at the top. It's a cancer at the top. And all 14 directors have to go. You need new management. Then you need forensic accountants in to establish the integrity of the accounts. Once you do that, you can start rebuilding the corporation, but in a cleansed form, become an example of what a corporate governance should mean in Japan.
About that corporate governance in Japan, is this story more than just about Olympus? Is it perhaps a bigger story than that?
It is. There's also questions in relation to the auditing firms. Both KPMG and Ernst & Young signed the accounts of Olympus off. Now we know these dirty secrets have been hidden. So a lot of people have a lot of questions to answer, and the story, I've got no doubt, is going to have many tentacles, which will touch upon all sorts of issues in corporate Japan.
I know the stock value has dropped, has plummeted, actually, by, 80%?
That's right.
And Olympus's reputation has taken really a big hit. What happens next to the company?
We make products people want to buy, particularly in the healthcare and the microscope sectors and the industrial sectors. We are leaders. The company has a good base. It's a real business. We just need to bring confidence. And the way you will achieve that is by transparency and knowing that the people who are running the company have integrity and honesty. Very basic, very simple things. Then you can have confidence and you can go forward.
Michael Woodford, the former CEO, president and CEO of Olympus, thank you for joining us today.
That's my pleasure.
And finally this morning, there's been a changing of the guard at the Oscars, with producer Brett Ratner out and Brian Grazer in. And now the show's host, Eddie Murphy, has also bowed out of his role. So who will take Murphy's place at the ceremony? Some insiders say they'd like actor Billy Crystal to take over, since he was a popular host in the 90s, as recently as 2004, as a matter of fact. But even he may have to step aside, because there's already a Facebook page to draft Kermit, as in Kermit the Frog. Yep, there's a move afoot to get the world's most famous frog and his Muppet friends to host, but it only has 168 likes. I guess it's really not easy being green. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
All right, pardon the dated reference, but over in China, it's all about the Benjamins when it comes to getting a good education.
You just give them the list of schools you're interested in, and they will do it for you. They are not ashamed of doing this. You pay them, and they get it out for you.
I'm Kai Rizdal, wanted Chinese students for universities here in the States. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.